Our topic this afternoon is taken, my assignment is taken from Matthew 7, and it's to talk about the white gate. The text is taken from the 13th and 14th verses, I believe. It says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's like Brother Bob said, that was King James, and it sounds like King James. I prefer the American rendering. It says the same thing, but just sounds a little bit easier to understand. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's New American. Now, as you know, the text in Matthew 7 is within the context of a larger Sermon on the Mount. If you imagine Sermon on the Mount is really what our Lord, what Matthew was recording as our Lord's just grand teaching at the time. And this portion of that sermon was really concluding the thoughts coming out of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount has always been a source of inspiration and comfort to all of us as footstep followers. It has a lot of very positive encouragement type sentiments. Whenever you read the Sermon on the Mount, you get a sense of the Lord's desire to make us fully informed of what it really, really takes to survive. It seems like it's his intent to give us some very key guidelines of what it takes to get from one day to the next. And I think that really is the essence of the Sermon on the Mount. His desire to see us cope with the pulls and tugs of life, and the lesson of the entire context of the Sermon on the Mount is summed up in what I believe is summed up in this convention's theme, which is Matthew 6:33, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, if we can internalize that concept, that thought, how relaxing and how comforting it is that everything else that we might be striving after is really summed up in that one striving for the kingdom and his righteousness. When you're prone to beat about aimlessly, when you're prone to not be focused, it is calming and reassuring that first, the Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. And by the way, just focus your attention on doing his will, and then everything else will come into place. Focus first in seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of the things will come and be added. And Brother Al used to say the word was super added to you. That's Brother Al Langford of our class. Some of you might remember him. So given this larger backdrop, the Sermon on the Mount is really the context of this study. Our Lord was concluding his thoughts when he advised to enter through the narrow gate which leads to life, compared to the broad gate that leads to destruction. One other thought to point out in the larger context is how the Lord's words were received at the end of his teaching on the Sermon of the Mount, as recorded by Matthew. In Matthew 7:28-29, we read that when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. So we know what the outcome of this whole sermon was on the people that heard it. They had a comforting feeling, just like we feel when we read those texts. When we read that text today, we have the same effect. It has the same effect on us that it had on that very first day when those people heard it. These were such simple words that resonated with the crowd because they were practical applications of the teachings and essence of our religion, which is basically just simply faith in God. This would compare to the self-serving nature all the teaching that they got, the Jews at the time got from their religious leaders. Now, looking specifically at our topic of the white gate, and we're going to try to do this without stepping on Brother Yak and Brother Montague's study. It's very difficult. When you look at it, the white gate is obviously one that is relatively wider compared. I mean, this is where you go, my daughter will go, duh. I was looking around waiting for her to say that. The wide gate is obviously one that is relatively wider compared to the narrow gate. Hence, the wide gate. From the text, we're led to believe that because of that unique feature of being wide, it has a characteristic of leading to destruction. So the question is, how so? What does destruction mean? What do these words mean? For the purpose of this short study, and we're going to try very quickly to try and focus on the wide gate, we want to focus on the 13th verse that says, "For the gate is wide and the way is broad, which leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." You will notice that it doesn't just talk about the wide gate by itself. In fact, it talks about the wide gate and ties it with the broad way. So it's the wide gate and the broad way. They combine to lead to destruction. Even that is not the full context of the lesson being provided. The theme of the Sermon on the Mount is very positive. So this statement about the wide gate and the broad way is negative and seems out of place when you look at it within the context of the entire Sermon on the Mount. It would be out of place and negative if that was what was being communicated, if that was the essence of the message. It would definitely be out of place. We think our Lord was conveying the positive thought that we should enter into the narrow gate because the alternative is not good. And so someone once said, you have bad people so that we have examples of what not to be. So it's the contrast that we're talking about here. The wide gate and the broad way is really brought into this positive message only to serve as a contrast. The alternative seems to be popular, but it's not good. This seems to make sense because the text about the wide gate and the broad way seems very parenthetical within this context. It seems like it's just nested within the discussion, essentially, of the narrow gate. And so it seems parenthetical to the real teaching, which is the direction to seek the narrow gate and the narrow way. When you read that text again, enter through the narrow gate, comma, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter it. And it goes on, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Reading through the 13 to 14 verses, you get the sense that the text could be rendered without the white gate and the Broadway reference and still convey the lesson intended. In other words, you could say, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. But our Lord saw it fit to add the parenthetical for full contrast, to highlight the positive of the narrow gate. It is like giving directions to someone if you're going downtown. I say, if you're going downtown, I think you should take exit 4. And that's your best exit. I could have stopped there. But if I added and said, you're going to see exit 2 first, most people take that, but it doesn't quite work well. So go on to exit 4. Now you're really focused on going to exit 4. Because when you come to exit 2, you know, well, that's not the right one to take. So exit 2 is added in that description, mostly to give you a sense of context, a sense of contrast to the fact that really you want exit 4. Because if you take that shorter exit, you might not get downtown as you intended. So I think that seems to be the purpose of the mention of the broad gate. Now, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean the broad gate doesn't exist. But the focus, our focus, is really on the narrow gate. So I could stop here and say, my job's done, and then hand it on to Brother Yai and have him tell you more about the narrow gate. But that's not, I think, what the brethren wanted. Beyond that, the word gate is from the Greek word Strong's 4439, which has more of a meaning of an entrance. There's no other way to describe it, so there's no mystery in really the meaning of the word. It has a sense of an entrance into a city, or grand entrance into a palace or a temple. And in biblical times, the gate was really a significant place to be. It could be a marketplace. It could be a place where justice is carried out, so it's prone to sin, political corruption, or judicial corruption. It could be a marketplace, like I said, and all sorts of activities happen there. So there tends to be a lot of characters that hang out at the gates. So the gate can also symbolize power. There's a text in Matthew, I believe Matthew 16, that talks about the gates of Hades will not prevail over, will not stop the establishment of the church. I think it was our Lord talking to Peter. And so it symbolizes power. So gate, when you capture the gate of a city, you have in essence captured the power of that city. When you look at the word wide and broad, they're very interesting because they're used just this one time in the New Testament. And so that sort of piqued our curiosity. Now, we'd argue that this reference to the wide gate and the broad way is parenthetical and could be done without. However, we also find that using the word wide and broad was only one time in the New Testament. So now we're paying attention to why is that? Well, part of the reason is the word wide has more of a sense of being molded, being created. In other words, it's a creation that's intended to attract. So it's wide, it's broad. I think that was a message our Lord was conveying, that this gate is not just wide because it happens to be wide. It was intended to be wide so that it might be attractive. So it has a sense of one that is really intended and conveniently placed to be attractive. And so the thought is that it would encourage folks to come towards it because it was really intended that way. In other words, it's not just a wide gate. It is intended to deceive. And it has a very inviting and easy following. The broad way, the word broad is from Strong's 2149. It's also used that one time, like we said. It also has a very interesting meaning because when you imagine a Broadway, most cities have a Broadway. It's usually the widest street, the widest boulevard in town, and it's called the Broadway or Broad Street in some countries. In this case, the Broadway, the word broad is derived from a combination of the word wide and an openness, like a field. So it's not necessarily a way anymore. It's just a large expanse, which makes it very purposeless. Usually a way leads you somewhere. In this case, the Broadway almost leads you nowhere because it's so broad, it's expansive. And that word that's added at the end is koros, which has a meaning of a field or a region. So it has a sense of just an openness. So you come into this very attractive wide gate that leads to this very expansive Broadway, which leads almost nowhere. And so that's the sense we get, that the reason our Lord is saying that many find this is because it's easily attractive and it easily pulls you in, but then it leads you to nowhere. It leads you to destruction. The Broadway requires no commitment. The Broadway, I believe we're told in there's no effort required. The design is such that it brings you in and you do not have to work to find it. And so it's really one that is readily accessible, which is why it's so natural. It's not, and one argument is if it's so natural and it leads to destruction, well, why would anybody just walk into destruction? It's not set up to project that it's leading to destruction. It's set up to attract as if it's so natural and you don't have to do anything to get on it. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 14:12 that the way seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. So the things that are natural to man, to the natural man, are therefore ways to death. The world is referred to as the dead. And so when our Lord said many find it, it's because it's a natural way for the human race. And our focus as new creatures is not for that natural broad gate. The scripture tells us in Psalm 1:6 that the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so when it talks about destruction, we believe it's talking about the end of the whole world. The whole world at large is dead. And so that road, that broad gate, the wide gate and the broad way is really the way of the world, which leads to destruction. The way of the dead, as it says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Therefore, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it.